Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's exciting. Exciting to hear testimonies. Testimonies are all a sign that Jesus is alive and Jesus is on the throne. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A couple of trips back, I was in Malaysia, and we were doing a healing school over there. And so just teaching the people about healing. And, you know, because really it's about time we start passing and mentoring the next generation, really. And so my heart's really with that. And so we did this healing school. And halfway through the school, I started telling the people, 150 students, and started telling them to start performing whatever they learned. And so they did exactly the same miracles, if not more so, because Jesus said, you will do greater things. Amen. Amen. He'll say, you'll do greater things. So the miracles started multiplicating. And the amazing thing is this, that we took the gospel out to the streets and started doing it on the streets. One of the funny things that happened is there was a guy, a Chinese guy, and they had come from a broken background, some rehab centers. About 12 of them came. So they came. None of them were Christians, but all of them sat through the healing school for that afternoon. Amazing. And at the end of it, all 12 gave their hearts to the Lord. Amen. That itself is good. But one of them said to me, Bruce Lee style, you know, Bruce Lee, I want to speak to you. He says, I'll speak to you after I pray for everybody. He said, no, come and speak to me now. I says, no, I'll speak to you afterwards. He says, no, come now or fight me now. I thought, you know, all my old taekwondo skills will come forward again. But I've been delivered of that. Don't worry, Pastor, it's okay. And so, to cut a long story short, I made him wait until the very end. But even at the end, he wanted to fight me. Because it was the Spirit speaking. And so anyway, we got half the thing sorted out. And after that, the next day, I told the ministry team what to do kind of stuff so that they can sort it out. And that was just this year at Easter time. The time before in Malaysia, this guy got some amazing. At the end of the altar call, he was the first guy to run forward in a church of about 500, 600 people in a place called Penang. And so when he ran forward, he started shouting out all those things which is from a demonic voice. The demons was using his voice to shout out all those things, you know. Jesus is not alive. Who says Jesus is king? Things like that, you know. And so we knew straight away. So you kind of binded up that spirit and let him wait there and started ministering to everybody else. Because you see, the thing is, if you start ministering to him, all the kids would get scared. All the ladies would kind of get scared. Everybody would run out. And 500 people cannot be kept waiting for one manifestation. So we've just got to kind of wise up kind of thing. And so I left him right to the end. Anyway, to cut a long story short, after praying for everyone, prayed for him, the next day I came in, he gave me a big hug. He said, oh, Pastor Cool, that was so good. I got ministered to yesterday, but all day I've been thinking of killing you. All day I've been thinking of killing you, and I want to kill you, he says. I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't come here to die. So anyway, I says, don't worry. We sorted some things out last night. We'll sort the rest out tonight as well. And so, you know, we get into some really interesting situations. I've been involved with Full Gospel in one way or the other, right from Scotland days. Like Graham says, my ancestors come from India, but I was born in Malaysia. And that itself is a miracle. Because I'll share a little bit more of my testimony tomorrow night. And then from Malaysia, I went to Scotland, studied there, became an electronics engineer, had a dramatic conversion, and then about 18 years ago, God called us to Australia. And God spoke to me in a really funny way. I was praying and fasting in Scotland for a week, and he said, you look like an Indian. Isn't that obvious? He said, you sound like an Indian. I thought, uh-huh. I wanted to shake my head to the Lord. He said, but you think like a Westerner. I can use you all over Asia, but your dwelling place must be Australia. And so we made arrangements, and I went there. I did my degree in theology there. And to cut a long story short, God gave us this job where I was a senior pastor for 7 years of AOG. Have you got AOG over here? Almost of God? No, I'm just kidding, Pastor. Hallelujah. And so I was senior pastor for 7 years, and then God spoke to me one time again. He says, now is the time to go out into the nations and release the gift I've given you. And so the gift is really healing and miracles. You and I know that Jesus is the healer, but he uses his vessels. And so I've been doing that for 7 years. Just came back from a European trip. I did 6 weeks away, and I started in Belgium, and that was really great. Things have been happening in Belgium with the full gospel convention that they have every November. 30 nations are represented there. Absolutely amazing. About 3 years ago, I've been there for about 5 years, last 5 years, and I started speaking to them at the leadership level to tell them that we need to train the next team, the next wave, the next generation to come in. And about 3 years ago, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, for the first time, we had one session of young people. And when I say young, I mean under 25 or so. And out of 16 people, 9 gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time. Woo! Hallelujah! And so they're coming on strong. The next generation, the younger people are coming on strong. And so it's an amazing thing. So if you're free in November, nice trip in Belgium. Can I have that board, please? That'll be great. I really believe that God's got something amazing for us to astound us this weekend. There must be something more. Hallelujah. I really feel, I mean, you and I have seen the miracles. You know, Moses has seen all the miracles, had a dramatic conversion, so to speak, in Exodus chapter 3. Had a fantastic time where the angel of the Lord spoke through this burning bush and had a great encounter. And 30 chapters later, in chapter 33, he says, Lord, I've seen your glory. I've seen your miracles. I've seen signs and wonders, he was saying in my own words. But he says, now show me your glory. In spite of having seen all the signs and wonders and the miracles that God used him, towards that end there in chapter 33, he says, Lord, unless you go with me, I can't go. And now show me your glory. And I really believe that God wants to do something in us so that he can do it through us. Amen's a good word. Something in us so that he can do it through us. You see, one of our problems is we get so busy with life, so busy with all the consequences of life, so busy with our problems and our businesses and our busyness. And sometimes we just forget that we are here, we are commissioned. We've got an assignment from the Lord himself to perform in a certain function so that we can release the destiny of heaven on planet Earth. Amen. Amen. Am I speaking okay? Am I too fast? Is my accent too strong? No, is everything okay? Because remember, the Lord said I sound like an Indian. So every now and then I'll just nod my head like that. Hallelujah. Let me take you to this passage here. It's a strange passage. It comes from Acts chapter 9. What a really famous guy who got radically touched. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 9. Let's start from verse 9. For 3 days he was blind, he meaning Saul, and did not eat or drink anything. Meantime, back in Gotham City, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord. He did not say, yes, Lord. He did not doubt that it was God speaking to him. Like, yes, Lord, straight away. What a great answer. What a great answer when God says something radical, something strange, something different. Reminds me of what young Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You see, four times he had says, yes, Lord, speak for your servant listens. And he wanting that voice of God, I believe it, you will hear it many times this weekend. I believe that even this first session, there's going to be a radical transformation so that God will show us something that needs to put that turbo charge in us. You know, when you hit the turbo charge, boom! Hello! That's the kind of turbo charge button that you and I need this weekend. Well, you and I, we've seen lots of things, but there's so much more. In August last year, I was in Singapore, ministering in Singapore, and then I was supposed to go back to Australia, to Melbourne, where I live, and rest for about 2.5 weeks, and then I was supposed to go off somewhere else. And my diary was really chock-a-block. It was just full. And God spoke to me, and he said this, you're too small. I thought, Lord, don't you know I'm an international speaker? Come on, relax. I'm just winding you up, you know. God said to me, cool, you're too small, in my own words. And he shared with me that scripture. He says, I want to pour new wineskin into you, a new wine into you, you know. And I says, Lord, I know that scripture. I preached it 100 times, you know, new wine into new wineskin, not new wine into old wineskins. I know all that. But he says, cool, you're too small. And he showed me a picture, you know, of that tumble, the small miniature cup that we use for communion. And he says, you're that size, and what I want to pour into you is that big. And so to cut a long story short, God was speaking to me about spending some time with him because I'm overly busy as pastors and ministry teams and stuff. I'm overly busy as businessmen, many of you. And many times, let me confess my sin. I can get very professional. I know how to step into the anointing. I know how to flow into the anointing. I'm just so used to it because I'm ministering every day. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, I know that scripture. But he says, no, you really are too small. What I want to pour into you now or in just ahead is so much bigger than even your mindset. Your paradigms can contain. You need a complete overhaul. And I said, okay, Lord, so what do you want me to do? I got 2.5 weeks at home. I'll fast for 3 days. You know, 3 days is quite easy. You know, 3 days is okay. And he was very silent. I says, okay, Lord, 1 week. And he was silent. I says, okay, Lord, 2 weeks. You know, I'm only home for 2.5 weeks. Come on. He was silent again. I says, okay, Lord, I'll go the full hog, so to speak. I'll do the full 40 days. But if you want to do something special in me, then you've got to kind of provide for me and all that because I live by faith and, you know, I don't have a salary coming in. I says, that's one thing you've got to do for me. The other thing is you've got to show me, teach me how to dwell in your presence. You know, we can become so professional. We know what to pray, and we know how to read the word, and we read the word. You're reading something, but you're thinking about that business call you're about to make. Oh, don't look so holy at me. Come on. You know, you're reading your scripture, and you've got your the other part of your mind, you know, you're kind of, I've got this, bang, 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 that to do. I've got that to sort out. I'll even go and wash the car, which I hate to do. You know, you're planning all these other activities while reading the word. Anybody else like that? At least one or two. Hallelujah. And so I says, okay, Lord, I'll spend that time with you. I'll cancel my trips or I'll postpone my trips. And so I did a 40-day fast. And it was amazing because this time I said to the Lord, either you touch me so powerfully or take me home. I've done that 40-day fast about 5 times prior to this. And I did water and milk and all that stuff. But this time I says water only this time. Prior to that was fruit juice and milk and all that stuff. No soup even. I didn't want anything nutritious. I said, Lord, if you want to do something dramatic, then you've got to sort me out here first. And I seen like a hand just coming and taking all that junk and the idols and the things. Idols is anything that you put between you and God. Between you and the presence, between you and your quiet time, and anything like that. And I seen a hand coming and taking it out one by one. And you know something? I've trained my idols to be deep-rooted. You know, I'm so used to these things, you know, my Facebook and my this and my that. And they were really deep-rooted. And sometimes I see, Lord, picking that small thing out of me. It might only be a small thing to me, but the roots were that long. I thought, my goodness, how well I've trained these idols. And so to cut a long story short, the first week somebody heard that I was not going away for the rest of the year. That's from 1st of September right to December 31st. And so they invited me to come and speak in their church. First time I went there, and I preached the word that God had given me, and started praying for them at the altar call. The first girl I prayed for was deaf in one ear, got healed. I thought, thank you, Lord, you know. Second one got healed, third one got healed, fourth one got healed. By the time I came to the middle lady, she was in a wheelchair. So I said, you know, all these wonderful people got healed. And when I say healed, I mean verified, I mean tested, you know, and stuff like that. Came to this lady, and I says to you, I says, I really believe that God wants to touch you. She said, amen. But I says, if you lean on me, I'm going to pray for you. You've got to imagine that it's the hand of the Lord that's going to touch you. If you lean on me, I won't pull you up. She says, okay. So I told her to close her eyes. Usually I tell people to open their eyes, you know. And so I prayed for her. I says, now remember, it's the hand of the Lord. Pretend my hand is the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord superimposed over my hand. Prayed for her, pulled her out of the wheelchair. I says, just do me a favor. Just lift up your legs like that. So we tested it. That was okay. Absolutely healed. I says, just pump your hands up. Nothing wrong with her hands except one elbow or something. And she was able to do that. Then she marched up and down. Absolutely healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayed for the next one to her, and then next two away was a man in had Parkinson's disease, and he was tremoring like that. And I says, do you want what she has? He said, yes. I says, well, same again, just imagine it's the hand of the Lord coming upon you. Prayed for him, and I asked him to put your hands out like that, and 80% of the tremoring were gone. Prior to this, he was walking 1 inch at a time like that. That was his pace because he had a stroke plus Parkinson's, and now he could walk just absolutely healed. Jesus was doing some amazing things. As far as we could verify, everyone got healed that day. That was probably the first time that every single person got healed. That service lasted for about 4.5 hours. And the pastor came to me at about 4:30 in the evening, 5 o'clock in the evening. And he says, nobody wanted to leave because the presence were there. See, you and I, friends, we need to be presence driven. Or we read that wonderful book about purpose driven, and that's great. But we need to be presence driven. I think there's a new anointing coming on God's favorite people, you and me. Yoo-hoo! Amen. If you don't say amen, you can say yoo-hoo. That's fine too. You know, there is a new anointing coming upon us, and I believe it's called presence-driven. So that the presence of God in this sort of a cloud would take us to the next place. Is that okay for you guys to see this? I think we can carry his presence and go. We need to teach people how to come into, if this is you and me,
and they are sick. We have a kind of a cloud of his glory. A bad word would be aura. I know you don't like that word, neither do I. But actually, it's the original. It just means the presence. There is a presence that's around us. We need to teach people to come into the presence that you and I carry. We need to teach them to come into our zone. Many times, it happened in Brisbane. This lady rang me up. She says, will you please come and pray for my mom? And I says, look, I can, but I won't. I says, I'm preaching morning and night, and you want me to drive 2 or 3 hours on the other side of town. I've got to prepare because, you know, this is the churches coming together. I says, why don't you bring your mom into the service, because there's a corporate anointing. And she says, my mom can't even travel 10 minutes in the car. How can she travel for 45 minutes? I said to her, if she hasn't got faith for 10 minutes, how can you have faith for a lifetime? Mom had cancer, stage 4. Her lungs were almost completely gone. So she didn't come first night, second night, third night, fourth night. She came on the fifth night. And she came and she was in the second row. And I signaled to her, are you the one with the lung problem? And she said, yeah. So I said, okay, later on we'll pray for you. I came back onto the platform and I felt God say to her, pray for her 3 times. So I prayed for her that time. And then halfway through I prayed for her. And the third time I prayed for her. And by the third time, I just pulled her up and started walking up and down with her. At first, she was walking slowly, but I walked fast, and I was kind of pulling, dragging her. And it took about 10 minutes. By that time, she was absolutely fine. See, we need to draw people into his presence. Let me tell you another quick story, because I have got something to say to you. In Indonesia, just recently, this was Vietnam, in an AOG convention and pastors meeting and stuff like that. And on the second day, they told me, he said, one of the pastors, his wife's body started shutting down 2 years ago. In the last 6 months, she's completely immobile. We have to carry her even to the toilet. So she's coming to see you tomorrow morning. Will you just pray for her, because she's in agony, in pain? So the next day, you know, I'm teaching away kind of stuff, and then they kind of carry her in, and everybody stops. You know how it is. Everybody stops just to watch that. So I stop as well, carry her in, put her right on the front chair, and they says, Pastor, will you pray for her right now, because she's in agony. And the husband was kind of begging me as well, please pray for her. My wife's in a really bad state. And I thought, you know, I know the presence of God. We can pray at any time. But I says it's better for her to stay all day because she needs this teaching. Pastor says, you don't understand, Cool. She's really, really bad. Told me about 2 years ago, body started shutting down the last 6 months. Been absolutely bad. She can't even bend. She can't even scratch herself. She's that bad. Has to be carried to the toilet at every session. I says, listen, please listen to this. I says, if she goes to the hospital now, she will be in pain. They say, yeah. If she goes home now, she'll be in pain. Uh-huh. Why don't you sit here and be in pain? What's the difference? What's the difference? You know, so she stood there. Once again, I came back, and I felt God say to pray 3 times, you know. So I went down the first time I prayed for her. After that session, I prayed for her once. Oh, pray for her 3 times, and she'll be healed by the end of the day. So I prayed for her the first time after that session. After the lunchtime session, prayed for her again. After the third session, prayed for her again. And by that time, she was just going out while I was praying for everybody else. And she was 80% healed. The next morning, 7:20, she rings up the superintendent. And he says, Pastor, absolutely healed before midnight last night. Yeah. Hallelujah! Friends, I believe that this weekend you and I are going to be the people who will draw people into his presence. This way works as well. If they can't come to you, then the second choice is you carry the presence to them. The first choice is bring them into your zone. Bring them into your atmosphere. Bring them into your proximity. Bring them into your place. And if they can't come, you've got to bring them to you, because when they come to you, it shows an element of faith. Everybody wants a shortcut. Will you please come and pray for me? Will you please come into my house, come into my thing? Yeah, you're walking into their zone, and I know our zone is stronger than their zone, but it's better when they can come to you, because it demonstrates some faith. So I believe that we are going to be people full of His presence. Amen. So here's what I want to say, and a bit more. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, he says. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I love words of knowledge like that. So sharp, so precise. There's no guessing, you know. It's exactly, the Lord told exactly where to go. Go to Straight Street. Ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me just draw this picture. And if you can't see at the back, just let me know and we'll try to do something if it's not clear enough. This is Saul going towards Damascus, and he's about to do what he's about to do. And suddenly, the Lord comes to him in this blaze of light, and he's blinded. And now for 3 days, he's been kind of fasting, not eating, not drinking. And God appears now to another guy. Now, he's on his way to this place, and over here, there's a guy called Ananias. Now, they don't know each other. Saul doesn't know Ananias. So there's no connection, except it's the Lord's plan, that Lord's about to do something dramatic. Let's say no connection, not known, but God's about to do something. So now God says to Ananias, go to Paul, or Saul, for he has seen you already in a vision. He's seen you. So now watch this now. Saul is here, and Ananias say, God says to Ananias, go back over here, because this guy has seen your face. This guy has seen you coming. And then you'll be able to take him to the next situation. Here's how I've kind of put it. Number one is this. Part one is, Saul is praying and waiting for something, because the Lord appeared to him. Then God speaks to Ananias, go back to Saul, pray for him. Number three, there's a next stage over here. God said, Paul has seen a man, and his name is Ananias. See the connection that he's already seen. Can you imagine if Ananias carries on his argument and say, Lord, you know, this Saul fella, he's a real killer. He, you know, I can't go, Lord. I won't go. I refuse to go. Maybe it's some other voice speaking to me. Can you imagine that? If he just said, and God sends somebody else, let's say Thomas. God sends Thomas to this guy. And when Saul opens his eyes, he sees not Ananias, not the man of his vision, but he sees somebody else. Here's my thought. I think that God has put assignments for you, business contracts for you. Say amen. God has put jobs, God has put a function that's ahead of you that we can only get in His presence. That even this weekend, God will show us something in His presence that will kind of project us to the future, project us to our next contract, our next assignment, the next person who's about to get saved. So I'm just about 10 days ago, I leave Sweden and go to Oslo, drive there my friends drive me, and then from Oslo fly to London, and I'm in British Airways lounge, and by this time I'm really tired. I had about 3 hours of sleep. I'm supposed to take a flight back. And I go for my shower in British Airways lounge, and this lady, she's writing with my name on the register with a funny grip on the pen. And I says, "What's wrong with you?" And she says, "I fell down 1 year ago. I had to learn how to write again because there's still problems on my wrist. Full on pain, by the way." So I says, "Let me pray for you." I pray for her and she got absolutely healed. I say, "Thank you, Jesus. That's really good." So now I go and have a nap in one of those benches. I sleep for 2.5 hours. Then I get up, go to washroom, and she's still in her station, you know, in that place. She sees me up, and she starts sending the British Airways staff to me for prayer. And I hear her say this. I hear, "He's a really powerful man. He prayed for me, and I'm absolutely healed." And so she starts sending at one time. I was sitting there, and there was 3 people waiting for me. And then she sends somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. And you see, God's already got assignments lined up in front for us. God's already got in your plan of tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow. He's already put people and places and assignments and contracts and blessings in the journey ahead of you. We just have to walk in that journey. We have to walk in that presence, being presence-driven, presence-led, spirit-led people into the next place of our assignment. I really believe with all my heart that God wants to speak to us louder than we're able to hear. And that's why a great prayer is, "Lord, enable me to hear. Enable me, empower me to hear so that I can go to the next place of my assignment." So we need to be brought by His presence. We need to be quickened in His presence. We need to be stimulated in His presence. I believe, as I was preparing this morning, I believe that God says, "This is our weekend. Something more powerful than at any time before." Because Moses himself says, "Now show me your glory." In chapter 33 in Exodus. "Now show me." He's seen so much, but now show me your glory. Here's, amen. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I still think in this engineering kind of picture. So here's a, making it very, very simple so that we can just take it in. Hallelujah. Here's a picture I'd like to share. We've got to see the right one. Here's my desire for you and for me. We've got to see, we've got to hear, and I know you're going to hear some things. You might hear Brother Seth, and you might hear myself and one or two others speaking to you, and that's good, but you've got to hear the sound of the Spirit, because we can rattle on, and we can joke, and we can do all the other things. But the other ear, the innermost ear, you've got to hear what God is speaking to you. Because we can give you general principles, but God will give you precise principles for yourself. Amen. So you've got to hear, you've got to see, you've got to then after that, obviously, you've got to speak it, believe it, speak it. And so let's just classify all that. That's your 5 senses plus the 6 sense of the Holy Spirit. Once you have that, once you see, once you hear, once you write it down, and then start doing it, that's what we call, what I would call, your knowledge. Now, knowledge alone puffs up. Amen? Knowledge alone just makes you clever. "I know this kind of stuff." But we don't want knowledge alone, because knowledge puffs up. We want revelation knowledge. We will want something so powerful that it's called revelation knowledge. And whenever we have revelation knowledge, that leads to the, what we call, the aha! Oh, wow! I've never seen that before. So that the scriptures become alive to you. Whoa! I've read that passage 20 times. Never seen that before. That's what you call the aha moment. And the Bible simply calls it the renewed mind. And you will find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. If not, if we don't travel along this, then we see the same scripture that we've seen 1,000 times. We hear it the same, I've heard it before. And as soon as the scripture comes, heard it before, seen it, done it, bought the t-shirt. You might have written it down before. Yeah, I got the same word 20 years ago. 10 years ago, God spoke to me again, the same word. 5 years ago, same word. What have you done about it? Hey, come on. Because we must lead to the next stage, which is revelation. Something that, gets you like that. And that's what you call the wow moment. When you have that, then your awareness factor. When I say awareness, I mean your expectation. You're just waiting for that to happen. Let's say God gives you a word for business. Let's say God gives you a word for finances. Let's say God gives you a word for healing. And then now, after having that renewed mind that's changed that paradigm of the way you think, now you're looking, you're aware, you're waiting for that door. You're looking for that opportunity. You're waiting, you're expecting something. Amen's a good word. I better put it somewhere here so that... Since I'm speaking to men... Okay, bad one, bad joke. We'll wait for... Once your awareness factor is up, your expectation level, you're looking for that opportunity, you're waiting for that business, you're waiting for that contract, you're waiting for that guy, that person, and you're just waiting for that because now your awareness is high. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So really, what we're speaking about is that faith level, that expectation level has come up. Now you believe, not the circumstances, but believe the Word. Amen. Because the Word inside you has to draw that picture so clearly that you're not worried about the circumstances. You're worried about that picture inside. You want to comply to the picture that's within. Before it's out with you. You've got to comply with the picture that's inside. So the healing, you've got to see the healing happen. Oh, I know we're getting old. I know our bodies are wearing down and all that stuff. But we've got to see that as we come and wait in His presence, He renews us. That's what He promised us. And He's not a liar. Amen. He says that as you wait on Him, you will get renewed like young people. Woohoo! I'm 58. I still run. Run away from my wife most of the time. But that's a different story. 2013 is the year that she chases me. Okay. Let's move on. You see, the next stage when we're aware is actually we come to this place, which is kind of a hindrance. We count the cost. And this is where our intellect, as good as it is, as holy as it is, this is where our intellect can be a stumbling block. Because of our intellect, we say, but I've tried it before, but my finances are not here, but that person said no the last time. All the buts get in. Somebody said, get your butt out of the way. Some other people say, don't be led by your butt. I'm speaking about this butt. Sorry, I'm not trying to be vulgar, I'm just... Where we count the cost, that is the place we need a fresh encounter. I'm saying is this, we need a fresh injection of that revelation word, that aha moment coming in again. If we don't, then this is what happens. If we don't have a fresh encounter there, then our cleverness will spiral us downwards. If we don't have a fresh encounter, brought me on. Praise the Lord. Then logic, being rational, intellectualism, people's pressure will spiral us to a place where we do nothing about the revelation. And that's always a dangerous place. The Bible says, John 3:16, Brother Deva said, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish." The word perish means spiral downwards. Come on, baby. It means die, but how do you die? Very simple. When you lose the vision within, you die. Then you're just existing. You're just living without a cause, living without a purpose, living without function. So you are spiraling downwards. That means you're having a second-class living, a downgrade standard from the glory of the Lord. Does that make sense? And so we've got to freshly inject this area with the Word of God. So powerful. With the Word of our revelation. The revelation that God gives us. By all means, go to your pastor. By all means, go to your mentor. Somebody who can mentor you. And check that Word out, which we should have done over here. But that's when we need a fresh injection of encouragement. Fresh injection of the aha moment. Amen? Hallelujah. It gets better. If I can keep to the same page. Ah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Change color. Once we've injected that, that will always lead to a new experience with God. Because now your experience will be greater than the time prior to this. That's why it's so important to actually do it. You know the Nike thing, just do it, came from the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 16 or 17. Just do it. You've got to catch that picture and then do it according to the picture. I love the word of Jesus where he says, two blind men came to Jesus and Jesus said to them, "What can I do for you?" And the NIV, which is what I read, he says, Jesus says, "According to your faith, so be it." One of the other Bibles says this, "Become what you believe." When the blind man said, "Jesus, we want to see," Jesus said, "Become what you believe. Just live it." And they were healed from that moment on. What moment on? From the moment they received the word, "Become what you believe," and they believed. It's an amazing statement, because now we are getting that new experience, which is better than our old experience. The experience with the dynamics of God. Hey, it gets better. Watch this. What's my time like? 15 minutes. We can have revival in 15 minutes. Hallelujah. That's no problem at all. Once we have our new experience, our belief system now goes up. He says, wow, the word of God is really true. He does help us. Brother Deva said, he does protect us. Now we know that we know that we know that we know. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Your belief system goes up. Obviously, Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. But now it says in verse 6, our faith goes up, which is great. Once our faith goes up, here we go. Now, as we start doing things, our decisions are of better quality. Anybody more better decisions? Good quality decisions, good godly decisions. Now our decisions are better because we are applying faith to it. We're applying action to our faith. And so quality is better. Now if we make a wrong decision by some, let's say we had some choices and we made some wrong decisions in spite of going all over here. Let's say we made a bad decision, and I'm going to do with red. what would happen is we would go back here and check the word that we seen or heard or written down. That's what we would do. So this is a when we make a decision based on all this so far, and the thing went wrong, it went haywire, something went wrong, we would go back and check the word over here and just go through that process again. But once you do it two or three or four times, the same thing, and it doesn't work, what would happen? Not for you, but for somebody else, will say, let's try something else. My Buddhist friend, he says that, you know, when he prays his mantra, everything gets right because everything comes into harmony, and so everything works out right. My Chinese friend, he uses this feng shui kind of thing. They have to arrange their apartments in some, maybe when all everything is in synchrony, when everything is right, maybe I should try that. Not speaking about you, a strong Christian. I'm speaking about other people make decisions that way. Oh, my Hindu friend, they've got a choice of gods, 330 million. We have a choice of which one we want to do. Maybe I'll try this. They try something else. And the Bible says, as long as Jesus Christ is not on the throne, you will spiral downwards. Short-term gain, maybe, by some luck, by some charm or something. But when we use the principle of God in the proper way, good things will happen. Amen? So that, we have to watch out for that, and so we can train others for that. Watch this now. But when it's a good decision, we carry on. When you have a good decision and it becomes successful, there's always a reaction. Whenever you have success, you'll always have this reaction or this response. That's the word I'm looking for. Joy will always be released. A certain professor was just reading it recently, and he was saying when you can laugh for a prolonged period, or speak in tongues, and I can give you this article when I find it somewhere, or you praying for prolonged periods, there are two chemicals that's released in your bodies that is 100 to 200 times stronger than morphine. Let me say it one more time. When you release joy, when you laugh for prolonged periods, or when you pray for prolonged periods, there's two chemicals that's released by your own body that is 100 to 200 times stronger than morphine. Maybe that's why the Lord says in His Word, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Nehemiah. Wow! God knew! The joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's 100 to 200 times stronger than morphine. Here's my conviction. I don't think that the people are mad in the mental institutions. I don't think the people are drug addicts. I don't think the people are sick in those kind of areas. All I think is this. I think they're just trying to find an answer. Take my hurt away. And when they are hurt for prolonged periods, the wrong chemicals get released in their brain. And so there's chemical imbalance, and so they get put into these mental hospitals. Not because they're mad, just because there's a chemical misbalance there. Maybe, that I had passed them by and ignored them, or some other person who had got sent by an assignment from God just was too busy on that day. Maybe they were running late and they didn't minister to that person. The person who's doing that injections, and I don't think they're addicts. I think they just want their pain taken away. Most cases anyway, they say, somebody help me. And when there's no help from the supernatural, they rely on the natural. Friends, I think we've got a great assignment. I think without fellowship, full gospel is in this place where we can be the vessel to all these backsliders. Do you know there are more backsliders? Do you know there are more backsliders outside church than inside church? There are more Christians outside church than inside church. And I think full gospel can be this vehicle where we can once again come into line and draw them back. Isn't that the whole idea? Because we are non-threatening to everybody else. I appreciate all the other ministries and stuff like that, but my heart's been with full gospel last 25 years. And I'm a member in Geelong, in Melbourne. Anyway, when the joy is released, then you know what? Somebody will come to you and say, what are you so happy about? What are you laughing about? What are you so happy about? I can tell you, my mom-in-law died in Scotland, died about 10 days ago. And yet I was ministering, I forget, somewhere in Norway. I was ministering in Norway or Sweden or something like that. Somebody said to me, how come you're so happy? You know, why? Because you see, the death there, I mean, obviously I'm sorry that she passed on. But I remember 2 years ago, I made a special trip from Ireland to Scotland just to bring my mother-in-law to the Lord. Hallelujah. I paid for my own way. I was ministering in Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland, one of them. And then I flew over just for 48 hours just to minister to my mom-in-law because she was ill. God sent me there and I spoke to her. And you know, my father-in-law is a bit stern kind of stuff. You know, Scottish man. Just like Brother Neil, have you heard Brother Neil speaking? Man! By the way, if when he speaks, you need an interpreter, just ask me. He'll be speaking in tongues, but I know his tongue. And so I remember that time that I had gone there just to bring her to the Lord. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, my mom came to one meeting. That story is too long. I'll tell you some other time. Hallelujah. Remind me that story because it's a real powerful one. And so once joy is released, what happens is somebody else will say, what are you so happy about? And therefore, they would want the same thing. They want your joy, especially when they can get it free. When they don't have to pay for it, when they don't have to inject it, when they don't have to go after Johnny Walker or whatever else it's available, then the kingdom of God is increased because they want what you want, which is Jesus. Hallelujah! They want Jesus, and if Jesus can give them the same happiness, they'll want that because they see you. In spite of all the circumstances, you've got joy. Doesn't come from happiness, from circumstances, but comes from something within. They look into your eyes. They say, I can see that shine. They look into you and they say, you carry something. I like mixing with you. Amen. Hallelujah. When the kingdom of God is increased, what happens is people's philosophy changes. I'll just put the word P there. Philosophy is not a bad word. Philosophy means this: how you behave, how you react, how you think. When a group of individuals have a higher state for their philosophy, that means God's philosophy, living God's way, what happens is then the culture changes. Because culture change happens when a group of people is living a particular way. And so when people are more godly, what happens is the culture changes. When the culture changes, then every department gets changed. Politicians are no more lining their own pockets. Corruption gets less. Education system teaches some really good stuff in creation rather than evolution. You know, the law and order comes into place. Every part comes in. And you and I would call that revival. Let's see. The fires of revival happen. Because now, not only personal philosophies change, now a group changes, now a city changes, now a nation changes, so the whole culture gets changed, everything gets better. And now revival happens. Watch this now. Revival happens, let's say, in Christchurch. Okay? Foreigners like myself from Australia, we come to Christchurch. Americans come here, the British come here because they want to catch something in Christchurch or any part of New Zealand. We put your own city there. They want to catch something. They want to catch the fire. And the hotels get blessed. And the taxis get blessed. And the waitress and waitresses get blessed. Because now income is coming. People want to come here. They want to live here. They want to stay for 7 days, 10 days, whatever. They want to catch the fire. But in catching the fire, the non-Christians get blessed. Isn't that why the Bible says the righteous and the unrighteous all get the same rain and the same sunshine? Because as we carry the revival, people from outside this great nation want to come over here. This is still part of the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Not just Australia, this place, the southern part, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. I believe that what God says, the first mention we call it, when God says it, He means it. And when people get blessed, the whole nation gets blessed. Because now prosperity, if I can use the same color, now there's prosperity. I'll just put the dollar sign. Because now prosperity comes to the whole nation. The taxis, the caterings, the hotels, the other places, the souvenir shops. Everybody gets to get that income. And then they find out more and it comes more and more. And as the nation becomes Christian, the Bible says this, righteousness exalts a nation. God lifts up New Zealand right to the top of the agenda for world politics as an example to the world on how to do politics right, how to do law and order right, how to do the education system right. Get the picture? Hello? Hello? I know it's a little bit unclear. I wish I had done it on my kind of thing. But you see, to get that, it starts here. And it starts individually. And it starts this weekend. And it starts with you and me carrying something that we've not carried before. Or carrying it in a bigger capacity that we've not carried before. I believe with all my heart, friends, this is our time. Oh, no, you're not listening to me. I believe with all my heart that this is our time. Okay. Men, please rise up. We're going to pray. And this is a simple prayer. And here's the prayer. Are you ready? Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come on, look at me. Don't look so holy, okay? Don't look at me. Don't. Relax. Just say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Here I am.
This is my time.
This is my season.
I'm stepping into my new season.
Where I'm presence led.
Presence driven.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
This is that we can.
We welcome you.
Here we are.
In Jesus' name. Let's lift up a great clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All good? I'm willing to pray for anybody. Yep, all good.
Father in heaven, I humble before your throne. I enter in your holy presence in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, 11 days ago, you came with angels and saved my life. Today I'm standing in front of your precious children to share about the test that I've gone through. You made the testimony of my life that will touch the people's life. Thank you. Friends, 11 days ago, the date was 20th of May at about 10, between 10 and 11 o'clock in South Auckland, Great South Road, Manurewa. I parked my car, looked both sides of the road, to cross. There was no car coming either left or right. Friend, I crossed the road. Halfway, I was knocked down by a car. For a few minutes, I was still on the road, upside down. Friend, people, foot patrol, they came and lift me up. I was blackout. I shake my both arms, my feet. Friend, the car was broken, but I was not broken. Friend, today I'm standing in front of you. As we all know, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship is all about testimony. As for 5 to 6 years, being as a president of Manukau Garden Chapter, and my name is Deva Pillai. Friend, now it really tells me that Jesus is with us. As we all know, He will not leave us or forsake us. That day, I would have been dead. My friend, I invited few people, the pastors from Malaysia and other place, to come for a lunch. My wife was preparing a lunch at that day. But God knew the heart of the people that we serve God. Friend, still people around the world in these days, I know people they won't know inside and outside of you, but there's only one Jesus Christ knows inside and outside of all of us. Friend, as that guy came out of the car, he said to me, "Sorry." I said, "Friend, I accept your sorry. Let's go and stand on the footpath and I want to really talk to you." He was quite shaken. He could not speak. Friend, at the same time, God reminded me the verse from the Bible, John 3:16. Whoever believes in Him, God so loved the world, whoever will believes in Him will not perish, will have an eternal life. Friend, Jesus came with His angels and saved me. Instantly, friend, I would have been dead. The way car hit me, it was not a joke. Friend, I shared with that guy, I said, "Look, Jesus came in this world 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for all of us on the cross. He died for us and He shed His precious blood for you and I." Blink of His eyes, all those kings would have been dead. But He always said, "They don't know what they're doing." Jesus forgive everyone. Friend, today I'll forgive you in the same way because I follow Jesus Christ. You are free today not to worry about what you have done to me. You didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. And I was still alive, my friend. And I tell you, it's awesome. You know, something happens to you because God is always be with you in time of trouble. And all I can say to you today, brothers, to encourage you, our God is a big God. Doesn't matter whatever people think about you, what they say to you, but when you have heart for Jesus Christ, this is the trouble when you come. Like it was a death, my friend, but God saved me. Because being in Full Gospel for these years, it was not in vain. But all I can say to you, we serve wonderful God. And today I'm standing here in the mighty God who saved me. And I want to say thank you, brother, to give me a wonderful privilege to share this testimony. Thank you.
Hi guys, Jeff Lowe from Invercargill. About 5 years ago, my wife got an infection in her inner ear, and she was very sick, and we thought that we had lost her. Since then, she's been on various medications, and every now and again, she has these dizzy turns where she vomits and she just can't stand up. She just can't help herself. Coming up in the car up here, she was saying to me that driving in the car was causing her problems. And last night, she wasn't very well in the motel. She was quite dizzy. And she woke up this morning. She said, "I just feel so much better this morning." And that was good. But at our meeting this morning, I received a text, and it was, "Can you come home?" So I went over to the motel, and here she was, huddled over the sink in the bathroom, sitting on a chair, thinking that she was going to vomit, and the room was going round, and she couldn't move. And she looked at me, she said, "I'm supposed to be sharing my testimony this afternoon." I said, "Well, that explains some of this, doesn't it?" Yeah. So anyhow, I went next door, and I got Graham and his wife, and they came in, and they prayed for Barb. After they left, she was very much better. And then that scripture that our brother from down the back just shared to me, God said to me, he said, "Jeff, I have given you authority over all the enemy's powers." And he reminded me of the scripture in Zechariah, I think it is, about Joshua having a new turban put on his head. And I looked the scripture up, and I prayed for Barb. I laid hands on her again. And she is very, very much better. And by this time, she should have finished sharing her testimony upstairs with the ladies. So, amen. Good God.
Awesome, Jeff. Last one.
And I'll just add a little bit more to that story, because Diane is chairing that meeting upstairs. And she said, "Who will I get to share?" And she hadn't really thought about it. And I'd been thinking about it, and I said, "I believe that you should be asking Barbara to share." And so she went over and spoke to her, and Barbara said, "I was told 2 weeks ago that I was going to be sharing, and nobody had got a hold of me, so I was thinking I got away with it. But God was still in control, so he answered that prayer instantly. Praise God."
Good, Noel. Thanks. Well, there's a plan and a purpose for everything, isn't there? And I think God's got a great sense of humour when he gets hold of an Indian chap from Malaysia, sends him to Scotland, marries a Scottish wife, and then he shifts to Australia. Man, this guy has got to be interesting. I mean, he's a strange man. So I first met Cool, as I said before, in Geelong, Australia, at the Full Gospel Convention, a couple of conventions now. They have theirs every second year. And met Cool there, and Len had heard Cool over in Auckland and some of the guys up there, so they said, we've got to get this guy over. So if you like to tighten up your seat belts now and put up your trays, and you'll be right.
Bless you.